This section's called Invitations of Wisdom and Folly. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman Folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave.
Good evening, everyone. Hope you keep that part of the Bible open. And as always, there's an outline in the inside of the bulletin. Gives you an idea of how we're going to tackle it. And friends, if you're here tonight and you're feeling a little bit worn out, a little bit tired, that's to be expected, because estimates are that today you've made about 35,000 decisions. That's what they reckon the average person makes each day, 35,000 decisions. They reckon we make over 200 decisions just about food alone. Even at this very moment, you're making decisions. Am I going to keep listening to the guy up the front, or am I going to tune out? Maybe check what's on my phone. We are forever making decisions. 35,000. That can be really tiring. And into this jungle of decision making, tonight's passage actually has something really helpful to teach us. Because remember last week, Proverbs is all about helping us live well. That's what the book is on about. And tonight's passage does that by reducing all our decision making down to two main options. That in all the decisions that we have to face, more often than not, it boils down to two competing voices, each one urging us to make our decisions a different way. And as such, tonight's passage pretty much summarises the entire book up until now, because as you have no doubt noticed, and as Tristan pointed out, last week we looked at just the first six verses of chapter 1, and now we've jumped miles ahead and we've landed into chapter 9. That's because chapter 9 serves as a summary chapter of all the previous chapters leading up to it. The way it works is that chapters 1 to 8 actually give us lots and lots of different opinions. Lots and lots of different people pop up in chapters 1 to 8, urging us to make our decisions a certain way. But here in chapter 9, the whole thing is summarised down to two main voices, just so as to show us that a lot of our decisions can be boiled down to two main options. The options are: are you going to respect God, or are you going to disregard God? Let me show you how those two main options emerge from the text by considering each of the two competing voices that occurred in our reading. The first was the voice of wisdom. Verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table, and she's sent out her maids who call from the and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food. Drink the wine I've mixed. Our passage opens with an invitation. Wisdom is depicted as a woman who has prepared a banquet, and she's inviting us to come to her place so as to share it with her. Wisdom, you might remember from last Sunday, wisdom is being street smart. Wisdom is having the practical knowledge of being able to negotiate life really well. And so here in these opening verses, we've got a word picture. It's a parable in which you and I are being invited by wisdom to come along and live life to the full. And just like you can have a nice meal and it's filling and it's enjoyable and it's satisfying, here we've got a word picture of wisdom inviting us to have a life that is fulfilling, enjoyable, satisfying. Sounds terrific. So how should we respond? To push the imagery maybe, how do we go about RSVPing to this? Well, the chapter says a few things, talks about humility, talks about the willingness to be instructed and corrected, but really verse 10 is the crunch verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom wants us to accept her invitation by fearing God. That's what we're told there in verse 10. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of living life well. And by that word beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it means not only the starting point, but also the foundational truth upon which everything else is going to be built on. It's the way we might talk about the laying of the concrete slab for building a house as the beginning of the building. And yes, that means it's sort of the first thing that needs to be done in order to get started on the house. But at the same time, the foundation of a house is not something you ever move off from either, is it? You never stop needing the foundations of a building. They never stop being important. The building is always relying on them. And if you don't get them right, sooner or later, the building will crack and come down. That's wisdom and the fear of the Lord. That's building a life and the fear of the Lord. In other words, respecting who God is, having the proper reverence towards God, knowing your place before God. If we don't get that right, then it's like building our life on bad foundations, and sooner or later, our life will crack and it will eventually come down. And just a moment's reflection ought to tell you how infinitely sensible this instruction is. This is God we're talking about. This is the true and living God who created the entire universe simply by speaking. Like, this is a God who can evaporize entire planets if he wanted to, simply by the thought crossing his mind. Please tell me you're fearing a God like that. Because if the idea of defying a God like that does not terrify you, you have no idea who you're dealing with. But if the idea of disobeying God does terrify you, Proverbs would say, that's great. You have the beginnings of wisdom. You have the starting point and the foundation for building an effective life here. And this truth, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, by mentioning it here in chapter 9, it's one of the ways that this chapter serves as a summary for all the chapters leading up to it, because this instruction is peppered right through the earlier chapters. It's the very first thing we're told in the section, way back in chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then it gets repeated all the way through that section as well. Chapter 1, verse 29, chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 7, chapter 8, verse 13. And so quite literally from beginning to end and all the way through, chapters 1 to 9 are hammering the same lesson. Fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of building an effective life. Wisdom goes on to tell what will happen to us if we respond to this invitation. What's the outcome of fearing God? Chapter 9, verse 6 gives us one of those ones. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of understanding. Look at verse 11. For through me your days will be many. Years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. See, the outcome of what will happen if we heed the voice of wisdom, if we do what she says, if we actually build a life out of reverent fear of God, we'll have life and understanding, verse 6. We'll have long life and many years and fullness, verse 11. In fact, for us who are here as Christians, living this side of the cross, knowing what we know about all that Jesus has done for us, dying in our place on the cross to give us forgiveness and adoption into God's family, we know that when Proverbs says long life, it's most fully expressed for us in us being able to enjoy eternal life. A life in a new creation without pain or grief or sadness or sickness or confusion or stress or anxiety. Any of the things that are weighing you down at the moment, they will all be gone in the new creation. And here in chapter 9, it's all summarised with wisdom depicted as a woman standing at a house, inviting us to her banquet to delight in having a life that's lived to the full. Because it's built on reverence to God. But the voice of wisdom is not the only voice in the chapter, is it? Did you notice the other one? The other one is the voice of folly. Verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Now, I want you to notice the similarities between folly's invitation and what we've noticed already about wisdom's invitation. Both are women standing at their house inviting us to come in. Both are wanting us to share their food. Both are calling from the highest point of the city. And both extend exactly the same invitation. Did you notice that? Verses 4 and 16 are word-perfect repetitions. Let all who are simple come in here. And those similarities are alerting us to just how deceptive folly can be. Because she can promise so much and she can make so much sense at the time. And following folly can seem just so reasonable and appealing and attractive as she offers exactly the same things as wisdom. Go, follow me. Try life this way. It's going to be a lot easier for you. It'll be fun along the way. And yet, despite outward appearances, folly's invitation is a trap. Look at how she wants us to respond. Verse 17. Stolen water, oh, it's sweet. Food eaten in secret, it's delicious. There's no mention of a humble submission or a reverent fear of God here. She just wants to entice us to come in and indulge ourselves. She is loud and undisciplined, we're told in verse 13. In other words, folly is not interested in anyone telling us what to do. Not even God. And so, as opposed to the food and drink which wisdom has mixed herself, back up in verse 5, the food and drink that folly offers is described in verse 17 as stolen and secretive. In other words, when you cut through the double talk, what folly is really offering is not a life lived in fear of God, but in defiance of God, and what she is tricking us into is disobedience. And therefore, despite what she promises, what will really happen if we follow her is in fact the opposite of what she promises. Because the real outcome is described in verse 18. Little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are the depths of the grave. See the dynamics of what's happening in this chapter? Folly is promising exactly the same as wisdom, a rewarding full life, but it's all a sham. Because if you accept her invitation and become one of her guests, all you will ever find is death and the depths of the grave. It's like that show that used to be on telly, Deal or No Deal. Does anyone remember that game show that used to be on? Deal or No Deal. That was the show where contestants used to choose one briefcase out of 22 identical looking briefcases. And remember all the briefcases? They were all exactly the same shape. They were all nice and bright and shiny. They all had the prospect of containing great riches. And it was always disappointing when you got to the end of the show and the contestant had held on the grimly to the case they'd pick, and when they'd finally open it, it was empty. That's wisdom and folly holding identical looking briefcases. Both offer us to choose their suitcase. Both are offering their food. Both tantalise us with the prospect of joy and fulfilment. And the tragedy is, folly's suitcase is completely empty. And verse 18 is pointing out that you pick that one, all you're going to get for your efforts is the grave and emptiness. Which means it's pretty important to be able to recognise folly when she raises her voice, doesn't it? I mean, if she's that deceptive and she delivers so little, we need to make sure we're not caught out for her. And that's another way in which this chapter acts as a summary of all the preceding chapters, because in the preceding chapters leading up to this one, you actually get examples of all the different disguises that folly can take on and all the different voices that she can sound like. And you hear the voice of the violent, who promises easy riches by pushing your weight around, being aggressive and being a bit of a bully. And we hear the voice of the adulteress, who promises a full life of pleasure by giving in to sexual desires. And you hear the voice of the wicked, who promise success in life by doing what's easy rather than what's good. And you hear the voice of the sluggard, who entices us to relax by avoiding work and just giving in to laziness. And all through chapters 1 to 8, we're actually exposed to all these different voices. If you're in a small group during the week doing the Bible studies from Proverbs, you get a chance to study some of those voices. But here in our summary chapter, it's all boiled down to the fact that really, in all those voices that come at us, more often than not, there's only ever one choice to make. It's a choice between the voice of wisdom or the voice of folly. It's the choice to fear God, or it's the choice to disregard God. Which is a very helpful lesson. Because every day we face, on average, 35,000 decisions to make. And Proverbs wants us to see tonight that when you cut through the spin and you look at the bottom line of a lot of our decisions, quite often it comes down to a choice between wisdom and folly. Fearing God or ignoring God. Leading to life or doing that which leads to death. And when you put it like that, well, Proverbs wants us to wake up to the fact that there's only really one voice to ever listen to. There's only ever one voice that knows what it's talking about. It's the voice of wisdom. Fear the Lord above all else. Or again, for us as Christians, this side of the cross, and knowing what we know of Jesus, the voice to listen to is the voice of Jesus, who is wisdom. The very wisdom of God personified. the voice of Jesus, who actually tells us to fear him above all else. As Jesus himself said to his disciples in Luke's gospel, I've actually put it in the outline. I tell you, my friends, this is Jesus talking, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can't do anything else. I'll tell you who you should fear. This is Jesus talking. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Fear him, I tell you. Friends, Proverbs is doing us a great service this week, as it did last week. It's providing us with a very practical principle to go away with and live life. Last Sunday, we discovered the organising principle that Jesus is always the wisest person to listen to, which is a wonderful truth. Jesus is always the one who knows what he's talking about, the wisest person in the room. And overlaid on this again and reinforcing it, we are discovering that Jesus is also the most powerful person in the room. And he is always the most powerful person to listen to. And he always has more authority than anyone else, and we are crazy not to do what he says. That's a very useful reality check. Because in a couple of minutes' time, we're going to sing our last song, and you're going to be flooded with some of those 35,000 decisions that we make each day. And all these options are going to pop into your head. I'm going to shoot through early and just see what's on telly. Oh, I might stay around and catch up with my friends. Oh, actually, I could catch up with my friends during the week. Tonight I might just stay and see if anyone's on their own or if anyone's looking a little bit lonely and see if I can help. And of all those options that we have, the wise person says, I'm going to go with the one that fears the Lord. I'm going to go with the option that is living out a reverent obedience to King Jesus. And then when we get home, we are again going to be flooded with lots of decisions to make. How to treat our flatmates, how to treat the others in our family, how to treat our children, how to treat our mum and dad, how to treat our partners, what will I watch on TV, what websites am I going to visit? And the wise person says, I'm going to take the option that fears God here. I'm going to choose to do the things that are in reverent obedience to King Jesus. And then again tomorrow morning, a lot of us are going to turn up at school or at uni or at TAFE or at work for a new week, and we're going to be flooded with a lot of new decisions to make. Decisions about how hard you're going to work, what you're going to talk about over morning tea, what sort of jokes you're going to tell, how are you going to treat the teacher or the boss, and how are you going to talk about them behind their back, whether you're going to flirt with that person or not, whether you're going to push your weight around so as to get your own way. And in all those options, are you going to recognise the voice of the sluggard or the adulteress, or the wicked? Are you going to be tricked by the voice of folly, or are you going to listen to wisdom and follow the option that lives out of fear of the living God? For the beginning of wisdom is a fear of the Lord. That is the starting point, and that is the fundamental building block for being the best person you can be in this life. It is by humbly coming to terms with how powerful God is and how powerful his Son, King Jesus, is. Because God is telling us tonight, There is no way we are going to make the most of this life if we don't first understand that he's God and we're not. Fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. I'll pray. Father, thank you again for Proverbs. Thank you for the clarity and the helpfulness of reminding us of your authority and power and dominion and the need for us to reverently submit to you and your Son, King Jesus. Father, we want to live life well, and so we pray that you would help us this week to live in reverent submission to you. Amen.